Now, while he was in Jerusalem at Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony from man about mankind, for he knew what was in every person. Now that's a little statement, isn't it? We're at Jerusalem now. It's Passover. And this is a time of heightened spirituality. It's also a time of great tension. The zealots are there. The Pharisees are there. The Sadducees are there. They're Sadducee. And the Romans are there. And you've got this important religious festival. And nobody wants the Romans around, do they? But all this tension. And Jesus is doing signs. And the people saw the signs. But they did not recognize their significance. They were just something happening. Because they did not see his glory. Oh, I'm making a point, aren't I? Didn't do that on purpose. It just came out. I better say that again. I'm confusing you. I can tell by the puzzled looks on some faces. They saw the signs, but they did not recognize their significance because they did not see the glory behind the signs. I'll explain that in a moment. Because he did not reveal it. As I said there, he did not entrust himself or give himself to them, at least not yet, for he knew what was in them. He knew their wrong motives, their self-interest, their natural desires, and their overwhelming desire to get rid of the Romans, but that's a different story. Ultimately, though, sin was still in charge. The Spirit had not yet begun to work in these people. So seeing did not inspire the correct believing. But it does tell me something else, that something more was already happening to those ones who had begun to follow him from the baptism time. Something had touched their hearts. And they were perceiving his glory. What about for us? Is it time for us to do whatever he says? I think so. New wine, the best wine, must flow to refresh this world. Our vessels filled to the brim, that blessing may flow out of them. That's what we're called to do. Consider these final closing thoughts. Not bad. I've been going at this for about 20 minutes. The perfect sermon. Consider these closing thoughts. Crushed grapes produce a refreshing drink. Are you feeling the pain? There's something about being crushed here. The new age, this is a brand new thought. The new age, the age to come, has arrived at this first advent in Bethlehem. A brand new age has come to the earth. The age to come is broken in. A second advent is going to soon take place in Jerusalem. We call it the day of Pentecost, the advent of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost brought the source of refreshment to the thirsty world. And Pentecost pours this refreshment out through us. We are the instruments of God We are those six stone water pots, the ones used for ceremonial washing, the ones that were filled with dirty water, the ones that are just at the touch of the Master's hand. Out of our innermost, oh, I get excited about that. Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of life-giving or living water. Speaking of the Spirit when God glorifies his Son. Get back to your notes, Clayton. You're off topic. Oh, I also see in this story the unfolding of the appearing. I better explain because you... This age, the age to come, overlap between the advent when Jesus came the first time and the appearing when Jesus will return. I call it the appearing. So two ages are overlapping each other from the fourth year 4 BC until now. And will continue to overlap one another until Jesus appears in his fullness and the age to come is in its fullness. I probably didn't clarify anything for you, but you can ask me afterwards if you want me to go through it. It's a great little... it's better drawn than told, but getting back to here, I was still... Oh, remember I said just a shadow of the glory of age to come. The appearing of Christ. How do I see that shadow? That little wedding. That insignificant little wedding in the poor place called Galilee. Just a little wedding, a little family gathering where they're debating how much the bride was worth is a foreshadow at the appearing when we're going to have the great celebration in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, I would encourage you to be taken up by this great refreshing that's coming. You know, much of the church dwells on the path that leads to the appearing of Christ, how it's going to transpire. There's many views on that. They conflict with each other. But I don't want any conflict. Instead, we know that we're going to get there. Amen. Why don't we dwell for a while on what that day is going to be like? Have you ever thought of eternity? There were songs sung tonight about eternity that have one perspective. But there are other thoughts, other perspectives. The only word that can describe it is written on the sign behind me. You know that sign has been there 35 years. I've been staring at it for years and years and years trying to digest it. Paul wrote something amazing. I wish it was a paragraph instead of a little portion of a sentence because then I'd get more meaning from it. But it's all about the hope of glory, the promise of what glory is going to be like. Get back to on topic. All these notes. Let's always think about eternity, because one day eternity is going to be sprung on you and it's going to be amazing. John's account about this event is not about drinking. But I'm going to help you tonight. I'm going to give you the answer for the great dilemma called drinking. But I'm not going to quote from the Bible. I'm going to quote from the Surgeon General of the United States of America. Don't drink poison. Case closed. Don't bother. You're just shortening your life. It's poison. Okay, that's done. Instead, we have learned more about the revelation of God's glory. And I tell you a little secret. as you continue on in John, because I'm a few pages ahead, not too many pages ahead, but I'm a few pages ahead, we're going to get to understand more about this glory that's coming to the earth. God bless you. Heavenly Father, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm subject to getting excited about these things. Perhaps the people here didn't realize that. They do now. Your word is inspiring me. It brings excitement. It's powerful. And it talks about things that are supernatural, just doesn't say it. It's not strong enough. It talks about things that are happening and will happen that are glorious. And Lord, I thank you that a couple of families and perhaps 5 or 6 dozen people 2,000 years ago in Cana in Galilee went through the motions of a marriage and provided us with an amazing account of how 6 stone water pots can be the source of refreshing, not only for their little tiny wedding, but the entire world. Jesus, you are the answer for this dry, impoverished land. Make us the vessels you want us to be, body, soul, and spirit, whatever it costs. Amen. God bless you.